Hi everyone, welcome to Modern Workplace Conversations, where we explore critical and often under-discussed topics within the professional world. Every week, we feature experts ranging from HR professionals to operators to lawyers and CEOs to provide you with diverse perspectives on workplace issues, trends, and best practices. I'm Oluwani Femi Kolawole, Senior Editor, TechPoint Africa.
Today's episode is an adaptation of a conversation with Paige Strewino, one of the lead interior designers at Space Finish, a global leader in workspace strategy and design. With over 5 years of experience as an interior architect, Paige shares valuable insights into what forward-thinking employers should prioritize when creating globally recognized workspaces. We explore the evolution of workspaces from traditional setups to modern tech-integrated environments that go beyond aesthetics. He also highlighted how smart designs can boost productivity, optimize space, encourage collaboration, and meet world-class standards. Let's get into the conversation.
We've seen different works that Space Finish has done, both for corporate and for startups. What does like a regular conversation looks like when a company wants to engage your service? What do you ask them? What do they ask you?
Okay, so initial conversations with organizations seeking services revolve around understanding business objectives and the team dynamics and what their desired outcomes are. So we first of all seek to really know about that company, how they operate, what their vision is as a company is, what their current goals are, what their future goals are. It's important for us to understand this because this helps us to help them envision the workspace that they are trying to move into or create, right? We explore their current challenges, what are their pain points, what are the company cultures and behaviors that they wish to encourage, as well as those that they wish to change. This helps us tailor the kind of workspace strategy that we provide for them. And it also reflects on the company's brands and drives the company's growth in the end.
So what questions do you ask them? For instance, now, okay, say you've gone to inspect the space and other questions you ask them to help you advise them appropriately on what and what they should go for.
Okay.
So I'm trying to get like what goes on in the mind of an employer before when they want to engage an interior designer for their workspace.
Okay. So typically at the beginning of a, well, let's say like the best case scenario, the organization will reach out to us and they let us know what their intentions are. They may say, oh, we have this kind of space and we want to figure out if it can take the number of people that we want to move from our old office, for example. In some cases, we get to ask them about what their current capacity is, what their future projections are as well, what accommodations they intend to bring in. So if you want to go into the granular details, we'll be asking questions from how does each department work, how do the staff themselves work, how do the management staff work, how do the departments work together. You also ask questions about maybe like the C-suits, you know, what are their preferences? Because, you know, while, you know, we are pushing for the future of work and workspace strategy, we also understand that there are scenarios where you may be working with a company that is transitioning from maybe the old style of work where everybody comes to work and maybe they are dealing with an older generation. So we also need to understand what is demographics of the people that are working with you. And then is this demographics supposed to change? Are they intending on changing it? Are they intending on pivoting to accommodate the newer generation, maybe the Gen Zs, right? Those are questions that help us understand the mind of the employer, the mind of the organization, and the direction that they're trying to go, right? So these are the plethora of questions that typically we have a system that we have developed over the years that helps us identify each of these key points that help us build the brief, that helps us build the image of what the client is trying to envision. Yes, in this case, things about demographics, like I said, how departments work, the company culture, what are their pain points. It's always important for us to ask them, what do they want to retain? What are the things that they have built as a company or an organization that they want to keep on? What are the other culture and, you know, and workplace shift that they want to see, and how? And that helps us begin to think about how we can influence this company culture and company behaviors. So, yeah, those are the kind of questions that we ask.
I understand that companies are unique, yeah, and their needs are different, yeah, but there are some things I believe that are recurring across companies. Are there like certain themes or elements that, especially contemporary workspaces that use your services, what is common across board for these companies? What do they ask for when it comes to design?
Okay.
And why?
So if you had a pool of 100 companies and you picked one out of them, there are certain things in terms of function that you would always find, right? Most of them have a similar organizational structure, and you could find them in a more complex or simpler forms. Now, the simplest form of them, you have the staff, you have management, and you have like a C-suite level. Now, those are some of the common things that you will find. So that helps us kind of prepare ahead. Like I said, we created systems that help us identify these structures in organizations. Also, what you also find common is some of the functional requirements for their spaces. Usually they need a workspace that is a place where the staff can sit and work together, a shared workspace. Usually you find scenarios where there would be one or two group heads, depending on the number of departments that they have in the company. There would also be cases where you have the requirements, that's functional requirements for private offices. There are certain things that we always come across is a need for storage. So while we are transitioning into like a digital age where a lot of information is stored in the cloud, right, there's still need for physical storage, personal storage. Those are common things that you find, personal storage, shared storage, right? There are scenarios where you will find dedicated storage locations in cases maybe where you are working with teams like a finance team or a HR team where they want to protect sensitive documents. So those are common things that you will find across these businesses, these organizations. You also see certain requirements for private offices. And then a growing common theme now is what we call the alternate workspaces. Those are workspaces that allow for a variation in the typical work that you do. There are places where you can come and have quick one-on-one sessions with your teammates or with a manager, or you could use it to do a private focus session, so like booths. So these are becoming more commonplace because they help improve the productivity of the team. So research has it that you if you are sitting at a desk throughout the day, right, and you don't get to stand or you don't get to walk around, right, it's detrimental to your own health and, of course, by extension, the productivity of whoever it is that is involved in that activity. So you have situations where we have alternate workspaces. And then a growing trend now is an extension of the workspace that is used also as a cafe, and that's called the work cafe. The work cafe is a place where you cater to more relaxing activities or quick brainstorm sessions. It is an extension of the workplace that serves for maybe food or dry kitchenette scenarios, or it could be wet kitchenette scenarios depending on the requirements of the company. You also find other things that are highly in demand now at what we call micro efficiencies. So you can imagine you where you work now, or if you get to maybe a co-working space or an organization that runs a co-working space, you find that people don't want to have to go from one office or from one meeting room to the other carrying all their chargers around. So you have scenarios where you could install or pre-install a commonly used charging system so that people can have a lighter weight to move around. Those commonly used charging systems, you know, they come with the cable management system. So cable management systems are becoming more commonplace. Also, you know, there are very, very little details around the mechanical and electrical provisions, such as when you are using your phone, right, you don't need to take your charger head. Those are little things that go into the furnishing. So if you go to a shared workspace, or if you go to a meeting room now, one thing that is becoming more commonplace are meeting rooms and huddle rooms or alternate workspaces, where you only just need to come with your cord and you can plug directly into the sockets provided there, because they are USB enabled sockets. Other common things now are writable surfaces. Writable surfaces are places for quick brainstorm. They can be located almost anywhere in the office, right? So it's for when you have that spur of creativity, or you know, when you get that light bulb, or when you and your team members, or you and a few other people want to do a brainstorm session. So it's a surface that can take on many forms that you can come in and write on. There are more advanced formats of it that you might not find everywhere, but the common thing is there's a writable surface. So in some cases, they are interactive, where you know you could be projecting and what you're writing and collaborating the way we are talking about this future of work now. We're collaborating on the board together. So, and then there are software tools that allow for such collaboration, such as Google's Jamboard. Yeah. So those are just a few things to mention that you find commonplace in terms of the functional requirements for office spaces.
Thank you very much. And they sound like they are trending.
Yeah, they're trending. So yes. And you know, one thing we're also seeing is that beyond just them trending, some of these things are coming to stay, right? And they're even spreading into the other workspace scenarios, say even in private workspace setups or individual workspace setups or home office workspace setups. Because I know we're going to talk about hybrid and other forms of work. So in situations where I am at home or my colleague is at home, I want those micro efficiencies as well, because they help me work better. I mean, if I'm working on a sit-stand desk where I can get up once in a while, I can still continue my work. You know, that helps me stay healthy while I'm working at home. So, yeah. So there are trends that come and they have come to stay, right? And technology is one of the major enablers for these trends.
Thank you very much for that, Paige. You're the professional here, and it seems the trend of people giving intentional thought to how they want their office to look or their workspace to look in terms of this design didn't start until like 5-6 years ago, especially in the Nigerian tech space. But not many people have caught on with that. Being the professional, why do you think people, employers, for instance, do not pay attention to the design part of their workspaces?
Okay, so I would answer the question from the part of the kind of employer that would pay attention. So if you come to Space Finish and you are trying to get an intentional office space design, right, we go through a process that helps educate you as the major stakeholder and all the other stakeholders, so actually management staff and then the in-house staff. That process involves helping you understand what the balance of the aesthetics and functionalities and employee well-being. Employee well-being being a third element that is overlooked. So when you consider employee well-being and you can tie your employee well-being to the productivity of the company, you begin to understand that you cannot overlook these elements, right? So from strategic planning, right, if you are working in a place where there is noise interference in a meeting room or meeting room scenario, in a place where people need to do focused work, you will be impeding on the function, on the productivity of your employees. And our job at Space Finish is to help advise by, you know, providing optimized test fits, that's the layout of the furniture, in with respect to the space that is available, the circulation that is required, and then the other external factors such as noise and lighting that is provided, because these little things influence the overall productivity. Now, if you talk about aesthetics, simple things like the color of the space that you are in, right, influences the mood. So and a quick example is where you are, where I am now. So this is my workroom, and it's my home workroom, and it's actually painted blue. And blue, the psychological effect of blue in the workspace is it keeps people, you know, a little more up and active, right? The difference between this and somewhere like a club is that you see that in a club setting, the lighting is more cool, it's more dimmed down, it keeps you more relaxed. So that is not designed to help people work. So employee well-being is very, very key. Paying attention to simple things like the kind of chairs and the ergonomics of the chairs, that's how these chairs fit into our natural sitting position, how these chairs would really help the backrest, back support, right? Those are things that will help the clients choose, help them understand that if they influence the employee well-being. So incorporating natural light and green elements also enhance productivity and creativity. One of the other major factors here in the modern day, modern space and the future of workspace is materials. So we all went through COVID, the COVID-19, the COVID lockdown. And basically, one thing that came up out of that is that, you know, there are different kind of materials that can either encourage the spread of that COVID, or they can resist it. So the surfaces of materials, materials that are inert, that don't allow the propagation of germs, right, that are easily cleaned, right, these kind of surfaces, the selection of these kind of surfaces is important. So during the design process, while we are going through the design of the space, we help the clients select these materials, and, you know, we connect it to locally available materials so that it is sustainably sourced. So this kind of decision making points, this kind of education point, these are education points for the clients, and the places where, you know, you can influence that. Decision maker, that major stakeholder, so that they understand how this ties in. And I guess lastly, if you are able to connect the aesthetics, the provision of lighting, soundproofing, selection of the right materials, if you connect all of that to the bottom line of the company, that is the company goals. You will be able to influence the decision makers into the right direction that would help the company meet their growth, that their own business goals, and help the business grow in the end. So that's basically what it is. So now, to answer your question, anybody, any company that is not taking this approach will be a company that has avoided this kind of process. Now, these processes are basically what influence and advise companies and organizations on how to, you know, go about selecting the right solutions for their own business growth.
So I love that you went in depth to advising them, because, you know, what we are used to, maybe we want to do, you want to like decorate your workspace at home, you just go to Pinterest, get inspo, and then give it to the person.
Yeah, it goes beyond that.
Well, yeah. So I'm just curious, do you have like people just come, like employers that come with the idea already made in their head to come and give you what they want?
So like I pointed out earlier, you can have scenarios like that. So somebody comes and says they have a vision. So, you know, it's also, that's what we're saying, we try and understand, what is the vision that you have? So if there is an impression that they want, right? So there is a sort of personal, influence in that process, right? It's not a problem. What we always make sure we kind of do is to help that organization realize that, you know, beyond just selecting all those reference images and those mood boards, it is important that we are selecting them based on the company's goals, based on the research that we will find out. That is this element that you've seen here, you know, going to drive the bottom line? Is it going to help the company brand? Is it going to help, you know, position the company or the employees in the light that you want them to be? Is it going to help them become more productive? And when you ask these questions, you find out that these clients or these organizations, they now really look at what's really important, and they begin to make better decisions. So, you know, we our job is to help them make better decisions, to guide them in this decision making, so that they would be able to meet their business goals. So you can select reference images, for example, from Pinterest, which is not a problem. But, you know, being the professionals and the workplace strategists that we are, we can easily tell you, you know what, you know, you want to bring in this particular item. There's some, maybe, for example, tell you that this item is a long lead item. However, there's an alternative that we can use that is available in Nigeria, and it can be procured at this cost and meet this timeline, meaning you'll be able to finish your project on time, and meaning be able to start business, and you'll be able to start business, you'll be able to begin to make your profits earlier. And when you connect it, if that's the goal, for example, for making profits and, you know, kicking off the business, then you help that person, that individual in that organization that is a major stakeholder, to make these decisions, you know, more easily. So they say that, okay, yes, you know what, you're right, you know, we may not be able to get this, but we would like to work with something similar that is available. So that's basically the line of thought and the process involved.
Yes, so they just come with their vision, and you help them to conceptualize.
Yes, we guide them by helping them making informed decisions. That's the point. So when we do the research and we tell them, this is what we've figured out from having conversations with your staff, with your managers, with the C-suites, right, with the departments, then we provide that information as data, and then from that data we extract the insights. Those insights now help us advise them that, you know, a manager might be saying this and his direct report might be saying this. So we tell them this is what it is, and then we always connect it to, you know, the constraints, say physical constraints, maybe the size of the space. Let me give you a typical example that comes up in such scenarios. Now, a client or a major stakeholder in an organization may want a particular type of conference room or meeting room. Now, they don't use that conference room alone. A manager and his team require spaces where they can have quick sessions for calls or for, let's say, it's a sales team or for meetings. Now, they now have a scenario where the space that is available will not allow them to have two completely separate meeting rooms. However, you can have two or three complete separate meeting rooms. So what we can provide for them in that scenario is, you know what, you want to build a space for your team, you want to build a space for a bigger team, right? And you want to build a space that can take maybe even all the teams together. So we create what we call a dynamic meeting room space. So it's a meeting room space that can function as two individual meeting rooms. But in the event of a larger meeting scenario, we provide solutions such as a bifold door that is separating the two that can be opened up, and the two meeting rooms will now be used together. So it was a situation where in one meeting room, say, can accommodate 10 people, another meeting room can accommodate 20 people. The insights we've gotten is that they also require a space where they can accommodate up to 30 people. So what we do is we provide a solution, and that's what I'm saying, such as a bifold door solution, separating both rooms that allow the rooms to be used together. What that does is that you now have a room when the two are combined that caters to 30 people. So based on the insights we've gotten from the companies, we now develop this kind of solutions for them.
You know, after 2020, yes, and where remote work was largely embraced, since 2023, companies have been trying to bring people back to the office. And I've read articles that suggest that having an aesthetically pleasing workplace is one of the things employers are using to attract employees back to the office. In your line of work and what you've noticed, is that bluff or is true? Because as an employee, I don't know if I care about the workplace.
I like your comments, and you know, it's taking, you know, the other advocates' approach. So now, when you come into you as an employee now, right? So let's take the employee's point of view. As an employee, you come into this workspace, you've just been hired. Now you are here to just do your job, right? Okay. So you come in, you're doing your job and all of that, but then you hear later that, you know, the management is intending to expand the space, or they are moving the offices. So now at this point, you still don't know if, you know, the next space is going to be better than this current one, right? What now begins to influence your thought process is, you know, if you are that employee, we are Space Finish, we will reach out to you. That's what I mean, that we go through a process where we engage all the stakeholders. So right from the top down, from the bottom up, so from the C-suite level and all the directors level, if they are available, down to the very staff that use the very staff that you don't always, you know, particularly provide for, even maybe like the drivers, right? What that does is that you get insights, and then by the time you have made a contribution to the insights, right, your particular pain points would have been recorded. Those sort of things that help you work and those sort of things that you would have liked to see will be recorded. Meaning, by the time you were moving to the new space, Space Finish would have provided solution based on the insights that we have working with that will deliver a space that caters to the requirements from each level, from the top down, from the bottom up. Therefore, yes, you would care by the time you are moving to the new space. And we have many situations where this kind of thing happens, you know. And we do something like a post-occupancy evaluation where we ask the staff and the managers of the spaces where we've designed, as how have you been working now? So maybe one particular staff suddenly realized that, you know what, I didn't know that I could move around, you know, and work in other places. You know, there are situations where, you know, you've been stuck at the table, and then all of a sudden the thing that really, you know, liberates you is the fact that you can go to another space, a space maybe on a terrace, or a space that allows you to take a quick nap, or a space that allows you to have conversations with your team members in a more relaxed scenario. Because these are some of these base psychological research insights and things that, you know, influence how people actually operate, how they function, how they perform in the workspace. So basically, a well-designed office, you know, office space significantly impacts productivity. It provides different settings for different work modes. And what people realize when we are done designing the space, they realize that they've been given more tools to be able to, you know, meet their quotas, meet their, you know, expectations, their OKRs, right? So these are the kind of scenarios that we're seeing. So from deep concentration to collaborative brainstorm sessions, right? We plan and we deliver innovation by facilitating those kind of unplanned interactions and exchange of ideas. You know, collaboration is enhanced through spaces and that are intentionally designed to bring people together and to encourage those kind of open communications. So yes, definitely you would care, and you will find out that, you know, at the end of the process, you know, you are actually a more productive and innovative individual in the workspace.
Just to piggyback on what you just said, as any company come to you and their main focus is to bring bring their employees back to the office.
Well, to be honest, I don't think we've had those kind of scenarios. The scenario that we face more often now is where the organization is trying to provide solutions for multiple work modes. So hybrid operations, that's hybrid workspaces. So they usually want to accommodate flexible and hybrid work models, focusing on creating adaptable workspaces that can be reconfigured, like the example of the meeting room that I shared with you, right? So they come looking for solutions that cater to requirements such as modular furnishing, movable partitioning, the multi-purpose areas that support both individual and team collaboration. Yes, you probably would find those kind of companies, but they've not reached out to Space Finish yet, at least. We are focusing on the future of work, and the future of work is flexible and hybrid. So many situations do not allow for everybody to work in one place at the same time. And, you know, if you take it from a business standpoint, if you can hire people that can work remotely or work in a hybrid setup, you are able to expand the reach of your organization. So you basically need to just be able to leverage, as an organization, be able to leverage the right tools that would help these kind of flexible and hybrid work models to operate functionally.
Yeah. My final question is, engaging companies like Space Finish, it's going to cost money. And when you want to look at your opportunity cost, you're wondering, okay, what's the returns for me? So I really need people to understand why employers do what they do when it comes to office spaces. So it's the cost that goes into like doing interior decoration for your company, where your employees will come. How do you match it with the outcome? I don't know if you get my question. Like, okay, you're going to spend a lot on this. How do you measure the outcome from
it? I'm going to point out two things first. Now, and it just so that you are intentional about it, Space Finish is not an interior decoration company. There's a difference between interior decor, interior design, right? Interior decor is basically matching accessories and finishes to a space, right? That's tailored to a particular client's personal tastes, right? In such scenarios, you know, that's not what we do. We are workspace strategists. Basically, our goal is to help you as a business meet your operational and your business goals for you to grow your business. That is completely different. And basically, just now to continue on that conversation about the financial implications. So what you need to know in scenarios like this is that you have to tie it to the value that organization is trying to get out of that move, out of that workspace design. When we can tie that value, right, you can tie it to the value that they're expecting. Let me give you a scenario. Like, if you as a company, right, can tie it, and we talked about how employee welfare, we talked about safety, talked about safety in terms of health and health safety, we talked about productivity, innovation and collaboration. When you can see that your staff are operating more effectively, you would know that definitely you'll be making more returns because people are working better. And you know what we at Space Manage have as a backlog, or you know, is that we have multiple case studies or projects where we've worked on. So one of the scenarios where what we do is to actually bring some of us potential clients into those office spaces. One of those office spaces where we delivered on the workspace strategy, because when we do so, we help them see that, you know, there are other ways of working and they can meet their business goals by actually improving how the workspace is. So from a financial standpoint, it's important that we tie it to the value. So if they know that you can be doing 2x, 3x of what they are doing, but they're not doing it because, you know, the office is practically underutilized. If I use what I just said now, as if I should expatiate on that, is simply this: if your space is underutilized, that is, you are not using up to 50% of the space effectively, basically you are not making as much money, quote, as you can, or you are not driving as much sales as you can. So if people are feeling like they can only operate for 2 hours effectively in your office, and if you have a utilization rate of about 80%, basically that's 2/8, that's 1/4. That means your office is only practically 25% utilized. Basically, if you are earning 1 million per month from that particular business unit, that 1 million is only 25% of what they can actually earn. So if you help improve their operations and you say, you know what, you guys, you can do better, you can optimize this office space so that the people in-house are using at least 50 to 70%, basically you are giving them a pathway to making, in this case, 2 million upwards. So when you see that, it begins to make sense to invest in improving that workspace or in building a workspace that helps them meet that business goal. I hope that kind of puts it into perspective.
Yes, thank you for the clarification, and it does make sense. It does make sense. Well, thank you very much, Paige.
So thank you very much for bringing this up. I actually found it a lot more engaging, yes, that's why we are the workspace strategist, and yes, we're here to deliver those on helping businesses actually meet their business goals. So it would even be good if I could ask you questions about how, you know, your own workspace is right now. Do you work from home? Are you working remotely or hybrid? You know, what are those sort of challenges that you face where you are currently? Is it about the kind of lighting, how that affects your eyes? I mean, how do you think that the curtain behind you, you know, influences the way you work well? Is it there to really help you in this scenario only, or is it for other scenarios? So, you know, just give me a very short insight of your own experience as someone who works in a workspace, or how you've been working.
Okay. So I work hybrid. I'm currently in our studio.
Okay.
We have office spaces downstairs, and I've never really paid attention. So fine, these things might be impacting the way I work, but I've never really paid attention to it. I'm hearing for the first time that blue is good for a space where you work.
Yeah.
Actually, in my workspace at home, I pull all curtains. Everywhere is dark. Like,
okay.
I during the day, you can't even know whether it's day or night. So okay. I pull curtains. Except I need natural light. Yeah, so, and most of the rooms that I've worked in are white. So I am hearing this blue thing for the first time. In fact, I have issues with blue colored rooms.
Okay.
I don't even know that it affects productivity. Yeah. So I think this comes from being educated about, being enlightened about this thing. Because if you don't know how it affects you, you would not want to find a way to fix it.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, some of this insight that you've given, would going forward, I'll be conscious
about it. Yeah.
So do you want to give insights like...
So this is kind of like the process. So right now I've gotten insights into how you work. And so if I were to probe further, I would say, okay, you know, what influences your decision to, you know, black out your space with curtains? And, you know, and have you considered that, you know, there's a place where you could still have natural light, you know, but you could be in a completely soundproof room? So those are the kind of questions that help us, you know, kick off the conversation into the research, into how you work, and, you know, what sorts of options can help you work more effectively. Like simple things like would you have preferred if your microphone was, you know, was mounted on your clothes, or was it a directional microphone or something that was mounted from the ceiling, you know, something that you could adjust without missing. Maybe you just press a button somewhere and, you know, it's making the, you know, those minute adjustments. So like, one of the things I said is that technology enables us in those, to make these choices, but there's just some things that, you know, they are just psychological, and how natural and daylighting affects how we feel. You know, daylighting regulates our circadian rhythm. That's the awareness that our body has of daytime and nighttime. So improving how you rest, how you wake up, and when you wake up, those sort of little things, you know. And if we had the time, we'll dive deeper into how you work. But if you are open, you know, Space Finish is open to have those conversations, and, you know, you can reach out, and you can reach out to Space Finish, and your team can reach out to Space Finish, so we can take a look at those, how you work as well, you know, because that's what we do. We help.
Do you do like for home work spaces, home work setups?
So we have some solutions that may be able to cater to home work scenarios. Yes.
Thank you very much. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. For more workplace related content, head over to techpoint.africa/subject/work. All other relevant links will be included in the show notes as well. Don't forget to share your comments and suggestions by reaching out to us at mwc@techpoint.africa. Catch you in the next one.